bringing you the best that wildlife has to offer here at Laurel's Wood. This is Wildlife Whispers. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Wildlife Whispers. Episode 3 now. Who'd have thought? Anyway, thank you so much for all your lovely messages and your emails about the podcast. I'm so glad that people are enjoying what they're listening to. It was a little bit of a gamble doing the podcast. I wasn't sure how well it would go down, but it's lovely to know that it's really going down well with everybody listening. And with eggs on the go here at Laurel's Wood with the tawny owls, hopefully this is the perfect little podcast episode in time for your Easter. So what's coming up today? We're going to be catching up, obviously, on all the wildlife that's here. And very exciting, we've got a little bit of an exciting little bit of the podcast this week where a friend, a massive friend of Laurel's Wood, is going to drop by. Really looking forward to that this week. We'll have another one of your questions answered. And of course, we'll be talking, as promised, a little bit about lockdown and what happened with the barn owls here in lockdown. And the sort of the catalyst that kind of catapulted Laurel's Wood into the homes of so many more people. So without further ado, let's get going. Well, once again, it's been a really busy week here at the Wood with the different camera setups that we have here. Let's kick off, as we always do, with the tawny owls. And so relieved. The network IT wizards, they have discovered what was wrong with it, and fingers crossed it's been resolved. I now have access back again to the camera in the tawny owl box. And what seemed to be happening was that because the tawny owl box is so far away, the network was struggling to keep the power going to three devices down there. Because obviously we've got the Badger cam, we've got there's a little Wi-Fi head there now so that I can do some Wi-Fi camera work. And also there's the tawny owl box camera itself. And it was just struggling, I think, to power all three down an internet cable setup. So we're looking at maybe just injecting a little bit more power down the line if it happens again, but fingers crossed we'll be able to follow them for the rest of their journey. They are still with four eggs, and it's been lovely to see the male bringing the female prey for her dinner to eat, but also for her to go and stretch her wings every now and again, and she'll take off, maybe have 10 minutes outside or so. Always seems to come back with her own treat as well. So, you know, it's a hungry business sitting on eggs. You've got to build your strength up somehow. It's been fascinating again to watch them. We've maybe got about 3 weeks left to go now before the eggs possibly start hatching. And I'll tell you more about the actual hatch date when we get that little bit closer. So yeah, all progressing really well with the tawny owls, incubation well underway. The barn owls, they're still enjoying being a couple. No closer to egg laying yet, but there's still positive sights and sounds from the box each night that it's all moving in the right direction. Still plenty of mating, still plenty of padding about and creating a scrape and breaking the pellets up and things like that. So yeah, very, very positive. I think if I'm hedging my bets and putting money on it, I would say probably towards May. If they're going to lay some eggs, that's when I think it possibly might happen for them this year. Only going on previous kind of years, but I may well be proved wrong. These birds, they don't read textbooks. They don't keep to their to a calendar. They will do their own thing. So we'll watch as the time progresses. The kestrel cam. Oh, I so want this to work for 2024. No kestrel yet pictured on the camera. I'm still trying. We've seen a lovely shot of a stock dove. That was beautiful. I might share that sometime. And also a crow as well had been in there with a little bit of nesting material. So not quite sure what's going on there. It was a live kestrel sight last year. I'm still hoping to get those beautiful pictures of a kestrel in there as they hopefully they take up residence once again. But yet nothing as yet on the kestrels. The blue tits, they're now underway. They've been playing around with nesting material for a couple of weeks, taking bits in, taking it out. So it was a bit like the Hokey Cokey. They've now decided, I think, to start building their nest proper. They've been bringing material in and have been sort of lying down, flapping their wings, making sure they've got enough room. And the circle, the well of the nest is, or the cup, I should say, is underway. Now, it took them about 10 days to maybe just short of 2 weeks to actually build it last year. So we'll find out how long it's going to take them this time. But the great tits next door in the other box, they're still not doing anything. They're quite happy roosting every night, but no sign of any nesting material in. So it's good that we've got one lot underway, and maybe by the podcast episode 4, perhaps the great tits will have started as well. We'll have to wait and see. Lockdown 2020 was really special. I think for a lot of people, having some kind of outlet and some kind of focus during what was a really, really strange, unsettling time for a lot of people, Laurel's Wood kind of provided that little bit of escapism, really, I think. And when I was streaming every night, the Owls Here, it kind of captured the imagination and the hearts of a lot of people. As I mentioned last week, we had a bumper brood of barn owls that year. They laid 7 eggs, all 7 hatched, incredibly. Sadly, one owlet died after the ringing process. And we did actually find the ring of that particular owl later on when I cleared the box out in the autumn. But to have that number of owlets growing inside the box, thank goodness the box was big enough to house all of them, but B, to be able to watch them with this very, very small camera and share it with so many people was absolutely magical. Now, when I started streaming, obviously it came to the attention of a lot of people, no more so than the Barn Owl Centre. Vinny, who runs the Barn Owl Centre, is incredibly knowledgeable and was able to provide me with sort of advice throughout the weeks and the months of the whole process. And one of his first bits of advice was just be really, really careful when the owlets get towards their more adventurous stage, when they start to look outside the box, when they start to think about maybe going their own way, having a little bit of a go at flying, and sort of branching out from the box. Because I built a little platform outside the box because I thought we might get one owl, we might get a couple. I did not know anything about barn owls at that point, and there just wouldn't be enough room for 7 owlets to suddenly step outside when they're starting to get that little bit bigger without one of them perhaps falling off or injuring themselves, or, you know, those people that did watch, accidents can happen. And so he said, please, when you get to ringing stage, it's the only time you can really have a go at trying to alter the site, because I'm not allowed to disturb the site at all once the eggs have been laid. Put some platforms up so that if they do venture outside, and when they do, they've got more room to spread out and not fall to the ground. He says that, you know, they take in so many barn owls that have been injured literally from falling from barn owl nests and boxes. So they've got to have that room initially to branch out in a safe place where they can sort of experiment with moving around a little bit, but they've got plenty of room to do it. So when the ringer came and the owlets were out of the box, myself and a friend, we were right up against the clock. We had the drills, we had the screws, we had the roll plugs, everything, and we pre-made these 2 5-foot platforms with brackets and things that we could put either side of the little tiny platform I'd made, so that they did have that room for when they got that little bit bigger, so they'd be able to explore safely and have access, because the platforms actually went right to the edge of the roof line. They could then climb up onto the roof, get access to that, and then practice a little bit of flying on there as well. So thankfully it worked. We only had one full, I think. It all tends to blur into one now. But I think, yeah, one sadly did fall off when they were scrabbling for food, when the parents were bringing them in and they were all stood outside. But luckily, I picked it back up again and popped it back onto the ledge so it could access the box again. And to be able to watch the whole journey from the sort of the egg stage to the sort of the feeding and the growing stage within the box, and then by putting an outside camera on and watching the platform and these owlets starting to flap their wings, starting to go up onto the apex of the roof and take their first little flight. Oh, just amazing. So 2020 lockdown was incredible. 2021 was a very, very different story. We think that one of the offspring from that bumper brood came back when the second brood in 2021 had been born, and sadly attacked and picked off the owlets one by one. It seemed to know where the food might have been stored in the box. They used to have like reserves in there, like little piles of wood mice and things like that. So was it an opportunistic owl looking for an easy feed? Is it a lazy hunter? We just don't know. And the cameras aren't really, really clear enough to pick up the number on the ring to know for definite. But that was a horrific time. Seeing, and I did stream it at the time, seeing this owl come back to the box and sadly pick off the competition, I guess, for food was quite harrowing. That period kind of made me stop streaming an awful lot. I don't stream half as much as I used to now, if at all, because I got so much abuse from that particular period. There were people threatening to report me to various industry bodies and things like that. But I think people have a real difficulty sometimes in knowing that With these cameras, we are merely observers. It's illegal to access the nest, the active nest site for barn owls once the eggs have been produced, and to sort of interfere and take owlets out of there and do things like that. Hard as it may be for me to want to go in there and do something, I can't without the risk of prosecution. So I'd wake up in the morning and there'd be like 100 messages that were just really abusive. So I decided not to stream after that point. And maybe it'll come back one day, I don't know. But please, whenever you tune in, if I do live streaming again, please remember we are merely observers. We're not allowed to interfere or intervene. It is what we're seeing on these cameras. We're in a very, very privileged position, thanks to the cameras. But what we're seeing, it happens in the wild a lot of the time, and we just don't know about it. And it's only through these kind of instances and these setups that we're actually gaining a greater insight into the world of these incredible birds. But thinking of lockdown, going back to that, it brings me nicely to this week's very, very special guest. Now, I'd like to welcome a very good friend of Laurel's Wood. You'll have seen the name, maybe, if you've been following for a long time, but you won't have heard the voice. But his illustrations from life here at Laurel's Wood during lockdown took off. They went down incredibly well. Absolutely brilliant talent. Even going as far as resulting in two calendars and a children's book. So please, I'd like you to welcome Neil Paterson, the brilliant artist in residence for here at Laurel's Wood. Now, Of course, Neil, I know the story of how you became involved here at Laurel's Wood, but for everyone listening, can you tell everyone about how it all happened? How did it come about?
Yeah, so my involvement. Well, I kind of got involved due to my wife, Nick. As during COVID, people were looking for an outlet, and she came across your website and on Facebook and started following. And every time I came in, she'd tell me about the goings on and what had been happening. So eventually, I joined in. And I must admit, watching the original family of barn owls from the very start to the fledging and all the adventures along the way became really, really addictive. Probably getting me into a little bit of trouble, really, because I think one of the first questions I'd ask when I got in was, what have the owls been up to? Before I actually asked Nick, how's your day been? But it was such a joy to be able to watch them and be part of their adventures. It was really, really good. And especially at the time of COVID, I think people just needed that outlet, and nature's just so therapeutic.
I couldn't agree more, Neil. Therapeutic. There are so many words we could use to describe how wildlife affects us all. But yeah, I think that probably sums it up probably the best. Now, when you were going to sort of do your illustrations, how did you go about choosing the moments that you wanted to capture?
Capturing the illustrations. I think that it wasn't only the things that the birds were getting up to and watching them in an actual habitat and how they evolved, but it was also the narrative of all the comments. There was a lot of banter between the people following the birds and watching on Facebook. And each of the birds sort of developed its own character, which helped with putting pencil to paper and drawing the action taking place. Also, it was an outlet for me, capturing nature in its rawest form and all the thrills that brings. Yeah, I think it was a group effort from everyone, you know, just looking at how they responded, their comments, the things that they saw that maybe I didn't, you know, it all helped with the illustrations. So yeah, I just really enjoyed doing it for everyone.
So after that, after sort of some illustrations started to get posted, how, for the benefit of everyone who wasn't following Laurel's Wood during the lockdown period, how did things kind of develop as a result of thousands of people seeing your illustrations?
At first, Nick thought it'd be a good idea to do some drawings of the owls so we could post them just for people to see. So I posted just for a bit of fun, really. I think it was a picture of one of the fledglings taking a leap of faith as it sort of stretched its wings and was learning to fly. And I think that kind of got people's imaginations going from all your followers, the nesties, as they called themselves. And that helped. They were actually asking, have you thought about doing this? Did you see that? And I'd have to go back through the videos and go, oh, yeah. And I could understand what they're saying. But sort of every sort of thing that we spoke about, they were always either really, really funny or quite powerful and emotive. There were moments, sad moments as well. So, yeah, just watching the family grow and being involved was amazing, you know, and each character, you know, Ringo, Boo, and the Seven, they were all named by the followers, the people that were, you know, watching the everyday life. And I think it became you just felt involved in what was going on. And just the feedback from everyone and the joy that people seem to be getting from the illustrations helped enormously. And actually, I got as much out of the reactions and the comments as I did from actually the drawing, which also helped, you know, during COVID, everyone was sort of isolating. It built relationships, you know, with yourself and a lot of the nesties, to the point, believe it or not, that I was actually being asked to do pictures for someone to have in their homes, which just totally blew me away.
And as a result of the illustrations, and yeah, there were two calendars that you very, very kindly illustrated for us. Absolutely brilliant. And they went to South Africa, Australia, they went all over the world. Absolutely incredible, but it didn't stop there, did it? No. What happened after the calendars?
So, after the calendars, well, that was an amazing time, you know, doing the calendars, and so much fun. The reaction was, I think, beyond anyone's expectations, including yourself, probably. Then it kind of went a bit mad. People kept talking about, you know, turning it into a book and I should do some illustrations or even write the book. Even though that is an amazing, well, was an amazing idea, it scared the life out of me. As you can imagine, it's not something I've ever done before. But with Nick's encouragement, and there was a lot of it, I must admit, one evening, I sat down and started to write the story. And I think because of the involvement with all the pictures, there was already something there. I think there was already a story developing because of everything we'd seen. And yeah, so I did a lot of writing and a lot of drawing, and eventually, with a lot of input from Nick and yourself, we ended up with a published children's book. What an amazing time. I think at one point it reached number one in the Amazon Children Books on Birds, which is a very proud moment, not only for me, but I think for everyone involved. So, yeah. It's definitely just from sitting in my living room, watching a couple of barn owls and their stories, so much changed for me personally that I will always be grateful for. And I really need to thank everyone who was involved, you know, and yourself for actually putting it out there for people to see. And I think you realise, especially during COVID, that I think it was a release for everyone. But I think the ones that need thanking the most are Ringo, Boo, Bongo, Twilight, Tiny, Luna, Hope and Miracle, for all the amazing adventures they gave us and allowing us to follow their journey. There's not really a lot more I can say.
Well, I have to say, Neil, thank you so much for joining us here on this this podcast episode. And as always, thank you for everything, for all the support you've given to here over the many years now. The illustrations, they will always have a special place in my heart. And I know that I have a couple that are framed upstairs, and they always make me smile whenever I see them. So from all of us, from all the Facebook followers and everything like that, thank you. It means an enormous amount what you've done. So yeah, thank you very much. And not content with my own voice on this podcast, somebody else wanted to get a little bit involved. So without further ado, I'll hand over to our little daughter.
And now it's time for your questions answered. Let's get to it.
She'll be wanting her own podcast soon. Right, thank you very much. So yeah, as she said, it's time for your questions answered. And this week's question that I've chosen has come from William. Now, he says, what has been the best moment of watching the wildlife there so far? Brilliant question, William. Again, thank you very much. And it's a really tough one. There have been so many really amazing moments over the last 5 or 6 years. Sort of from building setups, wondering if they'll ever use them. You know, you build these things, you put cameras in boxes. They might never, ever get used. But to see them sort of be inhabited, it's always fantastic. But I think if I was to choose one really standout moment, I think it's when all 7 owlets from our first ever brood here were all held together by the owl ringer. It was a very, very special moment to see them all just like in his arms. It always is a special moment whenever barn owls are rung. But that one, with it being the first, was probably the pinnacle. Such an amazing size of brood. The first time we'd ever had them, oh, just absolutely blew me away. There's lots more opportunities, hopefully, for incredible sights and sounds over the next few years. One thing that it's probably taught me is that no 2 years are ever the same. Wildlife has a habit of not reading textbooks, not following rules or anything like that. They do their own thing. So yeah, there's always something surprising. So maybe my most amazing moment or best moment might change over the next 2 or 3 years. But yeah, in answer to your question, William, it was the 7 being held by the bird ringer back in 2020. Unbeatable so far. I can't believe we're nearly at the end of this week's episode already. Next time, on episode 4, we'll be a week closer to potential egg hatching for the tawny owls. Are things still progressing well? Let's hope they are, and we'll find out certainly for definite next week. The barn owls, are they any closer? They're still enjoying time with each other, but have they got any closer to laying their own eggs? We'll find out as well. The blue tits, have they got the nest finished? Or are they still about another week away from finishing it off? And the great tits, have they even started? We'll have to wait and see and find out there as well. And please keep your fingers crossed, everybody. The kestrels, I don't want a picture of a stock dove or a crow. Let's get a kestrel in that hollow. Will it happen? We've got 7 days to find out. And of course, we'll have another one of your questions answered. So please keep sending them in and I'll choose another one for next week's episode. So all that remains for me to say is, as ever, thank you so much for listening. It means a huge amount, so thank you. I hope you found it as normal, useful, informative, hopefully a little bit entertaining. Special thanks to Neil for appearing on the podcast and agreeing to do it. Thank you so much, Neil. Your support is always incredible. Thank you so, so much. And please, whichever podcast app you are listening on, don't forget to subscribe. And if you could leave me a review as well, that'd be really, really great, because it does help expose the podcast to other people who might find it of interest to them. You can get in touch with me. Just leave an email or send an email to info@laurelswood.com. You can follow Laurelswood on social media. We're available on Facebook. We're also on Instagram and also on X. Called X this week, not Twitter. X. Thank you all for listening. I hope you have a lovely Easter. And remember, enjoy the wildlife wherever you are. I'll speak to you again soon. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.